get that other places, you know? Like, there's a lot of, you know, just like you said with history, there's, like, a lot of pushing aside and saying, well, no, this was the moment, you know? Like, you could, you know, I mean, you could get that Velvet Underground thing that you need from them, from other people.
Right.
That's true.
And you will.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the people...
that research about Velvet Underground.
Right.
Right, those kinds of people who are invested in that.
Well, there's that show that's up right now, Beyond Bling, the whole birth of hip hop thing.
Oh yeah.
Right,
yeah,
this is really interesting.
There's a show
right?
They're bringing a museum called Beyond Bling, the Art of Hip Hop.
Mm-hmm.
But so
it's
you want
to talking to them.
Someone that's done a lot of research into music, again, Mark Anderson. I mean, Mark's really dedicated to research. He loves the lineage in history. The lineage of hip hop actually comes out of German, the Kraftwerk. Like, that was the people that they were looking at, is early techno music, because it did not sound like traditional music. They just wanted to make music that sounded like now and the future, you know, and they created, you know, but no one talks about that, because it's not, it doesn't make a whole lot, you know, they want to talk about Afro-Caribbean beats and things like that, because of sort of the Black Pride part, but...
It also comes out of, like Black churches.
Yeah.
Like, sermons and stuff, right?
Part of it. I mean,
but that's the formal structure.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
You're talking about the aesthetics.
The aesthetics and the sort of inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Jen butt called you, probably.
She did what?
She butt called you.
She butt dialed you.
You know what butt dialing is?
You mean send her something back that says don't ever call me again?
No. I just asked her if she wanted to come over, and she's like, I think I'm going to stay home.
They're like, yeah, no,
they'll
never call you back.
But the hip-hop comes out of disco, too, I mean, pretty clearly.
Yeah.
There's, like, a pretty clear overlap. And also, like, funk stuff was weird.
Funk is coming back.
And, you know, the blues guys
re-issue.
Would rap.
Huh?
Have raps. Like,
re-issue.
The rap has
yeah.
been, like, happening for a while.
Yeah.
And then the technology was there. Like, who knows, like, what the... Like, I mean, I don't really know what the intention was when they first came out with samplers or, like, you know, because it's not,
Well, they could already record music, so, like, why make the sampler? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe more accessible.
The little samplers. I don't know what their market was.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you know, I mean, like, the original synthesis stuff was developed through government grants. For composers, and you would go to like the government lab, you know, and use the giant modular synthesizer and cut tape. But like, I don't know how you get to like a home sampler from that.
Yeah. I mean, probably the drum machine came.
Oh, right, the drum machine. Came before,
like
yeah,
the drum machine.
The rhythm box came
I think the drum
before.
Machine was so obvious because people who wanted to play
yeah.
piano in their house but like didn't have an accompaniment were just like that's where they have the drum machines, and then they started selling like drum machines separate from pianos, so you'd like program a different like beat that wasn't just like a waltz or like rock. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it comes out of the metronome too. I mean, I think
right.
Babbitt commissioned the rhythm box or like. Or you helped develop it because he was interested in juxtaposing different time signatures.
Yeah, and I mean, once people can like have you know drum sounds as a metronome,
because
they
want
to see
custom wallpapers. Like, you know, they just want to like put their own sounds in. So,
right.
I mean, I can see the market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People be like, well, I have a set of drums at home, so why don't I use my drums?
That's one thing, but like, then again, like.
But that musical equipment thing is like so weird, like the
I mean I was a little
the whole
more
like
anxious and high anxiety.
Equipment fetish?
Yeah.
Like the romanticism associated with like a band setup, like the drums in the back, you know, like
yeah.
It's such like a standard format that like it seems like the like art had for like a while in like the last century, but then it like kind of just like open. And now the format for art is like the white space, like the white room, you know, like the empty
even
empty
that
house.
They're
yeah. Well, the problem is like when the message of rock music is more the format of rock music, or when the message of like fine art is more like the space around the painting rather than like the actual painting or the actual song, you know, like the image of people playing the music is like a more powerful, has a more powerful meaning than whatever they're actually saying to you, or whatever like the content of the music is. You know, like the white walls of the gallery, like the neutral space is sort of like more powerful and more visually arresting than like whatever is in it. You know, just the image of like a shape or like an object in a white space is sort of like kind of strange. And I think that actually dominates over like any sculpture you put in the space. Because, you know, if you go online and you look at like an art blog or like any like images online of like fine art, you can tell like the fine art images versus like someone's like craft sculpture, you know. It's like put in a specific context,
mm-hmm.
just like from a photographic standpoint. You know, it's so easy to be like, well, this is like authentic, this is not authentic,
right.
You know, for like my field, or like my field.
Well,
study.
It's, you know, I don't think it was ever the intention for the white cube to be anonymous,
mm-hmm.
but we've assumed since its induction that it is anonymous. And we're getting to the point where we're kind of becoming fed up with how actually oppressive it really can be.
Yeah.
And so we're going back. But, you know, like when you go back, like you should really read the Robert Irwin book, Seeing is Forgetting the Names of the Things One Sees.
Yeah.
Because he talks
Ian
about.
Yeah, Ian Klein tells me to read that book a lot, actually.
Yeah. But it's, well, when he started making sculpture for a gallery, he went in and just got fed up with the fact that he kept having to, like, he'd have to go in and fix the architecture of the space just so that it was worth putting something into. Because, you know, it's sort of disingenuous to say, well, let's do something different than the white cube, because what's different than the white cube is usually a situation that's just not even, it's so visually, overtly oppressive that it really just destroys any kind of sort of autonomy in the work. That's to say that you're making work that wants some level of autonomy.
Yeah.
But you know, he was making work that bent space. So he was making these sort of plexiglass cubes and stuff that like totally like fucked with our perception of space.
Yeah.
But they don't work in like your room.
Like a regular.
Yes.
Place, yeah.
And like he'd walk in and be like, look, I have to respackle I have to refix, you know, like, I have to drywall the wall because it just looks terrible. And you know, every once in a while we get like, you know, I just had an opening last night and at the Longboat Key Center. And the architecture of that one space is gorgeous, right? Like, I want to do a whole show up in the rafters.
Yeah, that other gallery, yeah.
Right,
it's
perfect, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I had to make, my show kind of had to be a joke on itself just to, you know.
Just to exist.
Just to exist in the space that they actually put me in. Because
mm-hmm.
it's just so terrible.
They put him in this, like, carpeted room with, like, a yellow wall and then gray walls.
Why did they
and a piano.
Down?
And a piano and, like, comfy chairs.
Was that
and
the only
coffee
house
table.
They had available?
Yeah.
And it was about the size of across the gallery. And,
did people sit?
Yeah, people sat on the chairs
yeah.
and stuff and played the piano.
I mean, it was actually kind of like an interesting
opinion.
Concept show.
You know, I love the show. I think it's a great show. You
yeah.
know,
yeah.
It's well hung and you know, but at the same time, like if I was like a quote unquote serious painter, I'd say no to this. I'd just say no. That's but you know,
yeah.
like on a yellow wall, it kind of is insulting or whatever.
Yeah.
Know.
No.
Paint this white, like, you know. But for my work, it worked out fine. You know, Nathan, you might have a great time in there.
You would love that room. Yeah,
it's
true.
But, you know, we had this guy, Stephen Brown, the assistant curator for the Jewish Museum of Modern Art.